Welcome to the Women's Bible Study Podcast, a ministry of Sheridan House. If you've missed any part of this series, you can find it and many others online at SheridanHouse.org. We hope you enjoy today's lesson.
Well, welcome back, me. And it's wonderful to be with you. And see, I go away and then I come back and mess everything up. But anyway, it is just great to be with you, I think. And no, it really is. I miss being with you. And boy, are we blessed with this, the alternative teachers that we have. Oh my goodness sake. Did Sarah do an amazing job? And Marilyn, the couple weeks before. And we are just blessed with teachers that are just so gifted that are available for us. So today we're going to continue, and I can't believe that we have two more lessons and we're going to be done with the book of Ephesians. Can you believe it? Wow. And today we're going to be focusing on Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. So if you've got your Bible app, your phone, whatever, turn with me to the end of chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. And we're going to be talking today about the treasure of prayer. The treasure of prayer. And last week, we talked about, Sarah instructed us about the Christian warrior's armor and how each piece needs to be in its place. We talked about that. And then as we engage in warfare, regardless of how well we wear truth and righteousness, faith and salvation, no matter how grounded in peace, remember that picture about, wasn't that fun about the spikes in the boots to hold us still? Oof, I love that. No matter how grounded in peace, no matter how effectively we wield the sword of the Spirit, still the Apostle Paul in this section reminds us that there's one last important element for the warrior to do battle with. And A on your outline, the most important weapon is prayer. The most important weapon in warfare is prayer. Look with me to verse 18. I'm going to read the whole thing and then we'll be kind of picking it apart. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So on top of all the weapons, the Christian soldier fights on his knees. Fights on his knees through prayer. Notice that prayer, this is very interesting, I think, is the seventh element. It is the seventh weapon of the armament. And isn't that interesting? Because seven is a very significant number in the Bible, isn't it? It's a number for perfection. It's a number for completion. And here, prayer, in the list of all the weapons that we need as Christian warriors, the last one, number seven, is prayer. I think that's very significant. Prayer is the supreme weapon to use against the rulers, authorities, and powers of the dark world. Prayer is where we stand, verse 11, that we already studied, and be strong, verse 10, in the Lord. So let's take a look at that for a minute. Number one, prayer is where the battle is won. Why? Why is the battle won? Because, guess what? The battle is not ours, is it? It is not ours. It is the Lord's. And so prayer is where we place the battle in the right hands. When we're going through something, when we're struggling with something, and we're carefully putting on all the armor that we talked about last week, the final thing that we need to do is say, okay, but Lord, you know what? This is really not my battle. This is your battle. And I just ask that you come alongside me, that you fill me with your presence, Holy Spirit, and would you take over this battle? Because guess what? I don't have the strength to do it, is where we need to be. So it's turning over the battle into the right hands. Number two, prayer is where we connect with God in the battle. When we're in the battle, prayer is how we connect. Prayer is saying, Lord, I'm just really struggling in this area. Lord, I have got this issue that's happening in my life over and over again. I desperately need you, and prayer is the way that we connect with God as we're going through the difficult battles in our life. It is so important that it seems to be set separately from all the equipment of war. That as we went through the armament, as we went through all the pieces of armor that we put on, prayer is sort of almost separated. It's almost like the Lord is saying through the Apostle Paul's pen, those are very important, we have to have them on, but here is where it really happens. And he's kind of set it apart. I'll never forget Roby, when he was in high school, said, prayer is like having a walkie-talkie on the battlefield to a superior officer. Is that good? Is that a smart? I mean, really? Okay, anyway. And then verse 18 instructs us about the five elements of the awesome weapon. The five elements of the awesome weapon of prayer. B, the five elements of prayer. Number one, spirit-filled prayer. Look again to back, and again, we're going to kind of pick apart verse 18 here. Verse 18, the first part of it, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? How does that happen? How do I pray in the Spirit? How do I do that? Well, Romans 8, you don't need to look it up, but you might want to jot it down for future. 26 and 27 answers that question for us. It says this, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, we don't know how to pray, and the verse says, guess what? The Holy Spirit prays for us. Groanings. Isn't that an interesting picture that he's given us here? That he is groaning and praying with us and helping us and interceding with us as we go through our difficult times. Let me give you an example. I'm really using the children a lot today, so don't tell on me, okay? But I remember when Tori was about 4, Roby 1, and she would come into the kitchen and she'd say, Mommy, Roby needs you to get that truck off the top shelf in the closet. And so I'd go in there, and sure enough, he'd be going, pointing at the truck, and I'd get it down. And what was interesting is that they would be playing, and Roby would kind of make noises and point, and she knew exactly what he wanted and what he needed. And then what did she do? She came and told the parent what was needed. That's the very simplistic, humanistic way of looking. This is what it's all about. That we don't know how to say it. We don't know what to say. So the Holy Spirit says, okay, this is what she's trying to say. This is what she's struggling with. This is what she's asking for, Heavenly Father. And he interprets our groanings to the Heavenly Father. Wow, is that a great picture or what? Isn't that encouraging? As we struggle with praying through the things that we need to do. The other thing is that he prays not only for us, but he joins us. He's praying with us, which is another phenomenal thought, that as we're struggling in prayer and saying, oh, Lord, I don't even really know how to pray about this situation, but wow, and he prays with us, not only interprets for us, but prays with us, helps us in our weakness, as the verse says. He searches our heart. He intercedes for us, permeating our prayers with his thoughts. Again, another child illustration, but I remember when Roby was in elementary school and we went into the doctor's office for him to get his shots, and he went into anaphylactic shock. And I was just standing there not even knowing what to think, and the doctors just rushed into the room, and they were so intense on taking care of him and helping him that they didn't even bother to get Mom out of the room. Thank you for the word. I needed that one. And which usually they immediately usher you out, any parent. But they were so intense on taking care of him that they didn't even really notice that I was there. And I'm standing in the corner, and this is what I'm saying. Help, Jesus. help Jesus, help Jesus, help Jesus, over and over again. I didn't have the thank you, wherewithal, or the strength or anything else to be able to put it into words. So here's what he was doing. He was taking my help, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was groaning to the Heavenly Father and talking to him on my behalf, because I didn't have the strength or the mental wherewithal to be praying the right thing. Interceding, that is what the Holy Spirit does for us. Now, the Holy Spirit also does so much more in our lives. And one of the most incredible books that that I've used in my devotional life for years, as I'm reading the Bible and praying and so forth, is called The Valley of Vision. And it is a prayer book written by Puritan pastors in the 1600s. And as they were praying, these thoughts of who the Holy Spirit was and how he was available to us as believers just kind of fell off their pen. And it's the most incredible thing. The language is very old-timey, but beautiful. And it kind of expresses what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us in prayer and through prayer in our lives. This is one of my favorites. Are you ready? Okay. O Holy Spirit, as the sun is full of light, an ocean full of water, heaven full of glory, so may my heart be full of thee. Suffer me not to grieve or resist thee. Come as power to expel every rebel lust, to reign supreme and keep me thine. Come as teacher, leading me into all truth, filling me with all understanding. Come as love, that I may adore the Father and love him as my all. Come as joy, to dwell in me, move in me, animate me. Come as light, illuminating the scripture, molding me to its laws. Come as sanctifier, body, soul, spirit, wholly thine. Come as helper and strength to bless and keep and direct my every step. Come as beautifier, bringing order out of confusion, loveliness out of chaos. Magnify to me thy glory by being magnified in me, and make me reminiscent of thy fragrance. Is that beautiful? And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us as we are seeking him in prayer. So beautiful. When we pray in the Spirit, two supernatural things happen. Small a on your outline, we pray as we ought to. Now, apart from the Holy Spirit's help, we are limited by our reason and humanness. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can move to a higher plane as we seek his help. Because here's what he'll do. He'll bring things to our mind. You have experienced that. You know what I'm talking about. Where all of a sudden you feel this incredible urgency to pray about something or somebody. And you just say, okay, I don't know what's going on, but boy, I'm praying right now. And we've all experienced that. I'll never forget one weekend while Tori was in college, she was driving home with a friend for the weekend. And I had this sudden urgency to pray for her. And so I did. And I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I'm praying. And later on, we compared notes, and it turned out that it was the exact moment when, as they were driving along toward her friend's house, she realized she forgot to buckle her seatbelt. And so she said, oh, my goodness, put the seatbelt on. Boom, just as a car plowed into the side of her friend's car. Now, had she not buckled that seatbelt, she would have gone through the windshield. And so God prodded me. You all have had that. I've had people come up to me and say, hey, was anything going on last Tuesday morning about 10 o'clock? Because I just really felt like the Lord was asking me to pray for you. And so we need to be so sensitive and aware and listening and hearing when we feel the Lord prodding us to pray. So what does he do? He will bring things to mind. As we search our hearts, he will direct us. Next on your outline, he will direct us. There's a story about George Mueller, which is one of the founders of the Plymouth Brethren movement, also a founder of a children's charity home in England years ago, and he was asked by a friend of his, and he says, do you really believe that those two men that you have been praying for their salvation for over 50 years, do you think they're really going to come to Christ after all this, all these years of praying and nothing's happened? And he said, do you think that God would have kept me praying for all these years if he did not intend to save those two men? And guess what happened? The day before George Mueller died, one of them came to know the Lord. The day after George Mueller died, the other one came to know the Lord. Wow. We don't ever want to give up. I mean, sometimes, do you ever feel like that? Okay, I've been praying. Oh, Lord, are you going to ever hear this? And we sometimes just like, oh, throw up our hands. Never do we give up. Never do we give up here. Wow. Secondly, praying in the Spirit provides that, B, we pray with energy. Pray with energy. Instead of being distracted, have you ever done this? I don't want to admit to you how many times, but have you ever done this where you're praying and you all of a sudden go, wait a minute, what was I praying about? What was I supposed to pray for? Or, you know, you have your phone there and you're like, oh, and the text message goes off and you think, well, I better check. It might be one of the kids, it might be Bob, something like that. And every time I say, I need to put that phone away because, you know, wow. But anyway, we pray with energy. We begin by asking him, Lord, would you give me energy and power? Would you keep me on task here? Would you keep me focused on what you want me to pray for? Asking what he desires for us. How do you want me to pray about this, Lord? And we line up our minds with his. We ask him to line up our minds and desires with his mind and desires. Lord, would you help me to get your perspective on this issue? I'm really struggling with this attitude or with the situation. What do you want me to think about it? Line up my thoughts along with what you have for me to pray about this situation. John Bunyan said this, prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God has promised for the good of the church. Is that good or what? Yeah. Do you love that? Wow. Next element of prayer, number two, constant prayer. Constant prayer. Back to verse 18 again. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit. The New King James Version says, praying always in the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians, another passage, 5:17 says, pray continually. Now, continually. Now, when you hear that, does your mind immediately go, wait a minute, Lord, how do I do that? How do I pray all the time? How do I pray continually? How do I pray at all times? You know, I'm having lunch with a friend today. How do I pray in the middle of that? Or I got to go to work and I have a meeting with my boss. I mean, how does that work? How do I pray continually? How do I talk with other people or work or whatever it is that I have to do? Well, A, on your outline, it is a posture of the heart. Posture of the heart has more to do with the heart than the articulation of words. Has more to do with where my heart is during my day, what I'm thinking about, pondering, than actually the words that come out. Of course, we have to have those seasons where the words are coming out, but has more to do with the heart. Kind of like when we first fell in love. Do you remember how your beloved was never far from your mind? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where, you know, you're not talking to him or, you know, you're not with him at the moment, but you're thinking, I wonder what he's doing. I wonder what he's thinking. I wonder if he's thinking about me. I wonder if he's going to call me soon. You know, all those kinds of things. They're always, when we love somebody, they're not very far from our minds ever, right? That's the concept here. That's the idea. God is in the back of our mind all day. We're dialoguing with him all day long. Now, of course, we cannot spend all day long on your knees informal prayer, although we have to have a season of that as well in our lives. But the idea is, B, that our hearts are in constant communion with Him. Constant communion with Him. To be in communion as we go through our days, as we are handling situations that are perhaps difficult or challenging or painful or whatever it is, or joyful, that we are in communication with Him. John Wesley said, in describing a Christian in prayer, his heart is ever lifted to God. In this, he is never hindered, much less interrupted, by any person or thing. In retirement, in leisure, business, conversation, his heart is ever with the Lord, having the loving eye or his mind still fixed on Him and everywhere seeing Him that is invisible. Wow. Wow. I want to read that again before I go to sleep tonight. Think about that. This is God's will, not just for super Christians, but for all of us, all of us, for us to be constantly in communion with Him. We can have ongoing dialogues with Him even as we move through our days. Third element of prayer, varied prayer, varied prayer. Again, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with power, with all prayer and supplication. Let me read that again. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. The NIV says, with all kinds of prayer and supplication. So A on your outline, continual prayer creates different types of prayer. If we're praying continually, we will encounter various situations during our day, won't we, that will demand different types of prayer. Think of the situations that come up in our lives on a daily basis. First one, how about confession? Lord, I am so sorry. Oh, I've been struggling with this thought. Here I am back again, you know, struggling with that attitude. Really, Deanna? I don't believe it. But anyway, confession is one. Or how about thanksgiving? Oh, Lord, thank you so much for that phone call from my friend. I so needed it right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I know you prodded it. Thanksgiving. How about intercession? Oh, I'm so glad you brought up my friend. I'm just praying for her. I know she's struggling so much right now in that situation she is. Thank you for bringing her to my mind. I'm praying for her right now. Intercession. Adoration. How about, you are so amazing, Lord. As I'm looking out the window and seeing that palm tree waving in the breeze and thinking about your mighty creative abilities, I adore you and worship you. Prayer of adoration. How about humility? Lord, I'm desperate for help here. Can't do this by myself. Never could, never will. Please help me. Humility. Or how about, well, you fill in the blank. What, there are all kinds of different types of prayer that through the day should come to our mind, come to our mind. When prayer is a part of our life, B, it will be a powerful, powerful witness, especially in a fearful world like we're in today. Are we in a fearful world right now? Yes. Oh my goodness. Nationally, internationally, in our own personal lives, as we're struggling with some of these things, fearful, fearful, fearful. And so the world out there, we know the answer is Jesus. We know who's on the throne, don't we? Thank you. But there you go. But out there, people need to know that. People need to hear. They need to be encouraged by our countenance as we go through these difficult times. I will never forget some years ago, my dad was very ill in Lakeland, and he was in the hospital and had some surgery and so forth, and I was up there with him. And he wasn't really talking a whole lot, and he was almost like in a coma state, but not quite, but he was not doing well. Really didn't talk at all, other than just hi, and when I'd come in the room or whatever. And one day, he kind of opened his eyes, and he looked, and he said, "It's Sunday, isn't it?" And I said, "Yeah, it's Sunday." And he goes, "We need to sing." And he started, at the top of his lungs, this is the man that could barely say good morning to me, and he's saying, "Great is thy faith." Well, I won't sing it for you, spare you. But anyway, he began to sing at the top of his lungs. And then he'd say, how great thou art. And then we'd start singing that. And just at the top of his voice, perfect words. I couldn't believe it. And here's what happened. The door opened, and one of the nurses came in. And she said, wow, that's amazing. And she was one of his caregivers. And she said, could you pray for me about such and such? I can't remember what it was, but it was something very serious in her life. She said, could you pray? And my dad, remember, barely good morning. He said, absolutely, let's pray together. Perfect diction came out praying for this nurse, for her need. It's amazing. Why? Because we are to be witnesses around us. We are to be making a difference in other people's lives. How about a restaurant when you're getting ready to give a very good tip? Not a tract. Here, let me give you a really good tip. This is how to get to heaven. That's wonderful, but along with a very good tip. Anyway, you're giving a good tip and you say, is there anything I can pray for you? That makes a difference in people's lives around us as they say, wow, you know, with all the things that are going on in the world that you care, you know, how to pray for me? Wow, we need to be making a difference. It can be a powerful witness. Next, fourth element of prayer. Number four, determined prayer. Determined prayer. Again, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. That means determined prayer or persistent prayer. Determined prayer led to an incredible revival at Asbury College in Kentucky, where my Tori went and Sarah, our teacher from last week, they both went to that school. And in the early 70s, they were involved in a powerful revival in the chapel. They had gone in for chapel, and it just was one of those moments that how do you ever define or plan, and it just happened. And for 144 hours, round the clock, that revival lasted. They canceled all classes, and they just were in that chapel praying and experiencing the Lord and sharing and testimonies and singing and praising and praying, and on it went for 144 hours. 2,000 witness teams went out from there into other churches, some in the area, some even traveled out of the state to go into other places, and 130 other colleges all over, because they were so involved in this revival. Why? Persistent prayer, determined prayer, persevering prayer, wow, caused that for the Lord to be able to do that. There is an efficiency to persistent prayer. Boy, how we need to be praying right now for our country and the rest of the world. You know, it's not like he's sitting in the heavenly places and saying, okay, Rosemary, you've got 15 more prayers, and then I'm going to answer it. He's not counting the prayers. But what he is doing is he chooses to encourage determination in prayer. He wants us to continue in our prayer. He's not waiting for us to get to a certain number before he's going to answer. He just wants us to be persistent and continual and determined in that. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 18, 2 through 5. He said, he told the story. In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in the city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because, here it is, the widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. I love it. Jesus' own words, amazing. And then at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So we pray determined prayers with number A on your outline, increasing intensity. Notice the words that the Lord used. Three verbs, ask, seek, knock. Do you see how they're getting a little bit bigger, bigger, bigger as he goes along here? Ask implies, oh, you know, I have a need, I'm going to ask somebody for help. Seek indicates not only asking for help, but action. I'm seeking somebody to pray with, like looking for somebody. And then the final step, knock, and it includes asking plus doing something. So you see how it increases there? Be increasing persistence. It's kind of like pounding on a door. It's like stacking the words is extremely forceful. Ask, and then seek somebody for that, and then knock. There's an increasing, there is a stacking of the words. In the original language, it implies keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And again, the Lord's words, instructing us on how to be praying. You know, this is very personal, but I'm convinced that Sheridan House, that you love the Sheridan House stories, that just the miracles that God has done in our midst is just incredible. Many other ministries as well, but Sheridan House is kind of personal to me, right? And I've often felt that God's protection and favor is because of the numbers of people that pray for us on a daily basis. I will never forget, there was a couple that we had known in our church years ago, and they had moved out of the state. I can't remember where they moved, Georgia or something like that. And they came back for a reunion, and we ran into them, and they said, please tell us what's happening at Sheridan House. And she said, my husband and I pray every single day for Sheridan House. And I thought, wow, if we could have that kind of persistence to pray in our beloved ministries and our churches and each other's lives, wow, what a difference, what a difference, what a difference God could make in them. Increasing intensity, persistence, and C, increasing bigness, bigness. When we pray big, it honors God because it reveals our deep faith. If we're willing, you know, if we just pray for, oh, Lord, just could you just give me that parking place? That'd be so wonderful. And yes, God does like to pray, you know, answer those little prayers of our lives. But when we pray the big ones, that is when we're showing our faith and we're showing our trust that He is going to hear and answer our prayers. I've told you the story before, but I have to tell you again. Roby was driving in the car with Scarlett and Nehemiah, and he just making course of conversation. He said, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you like to go? And Scarlett goes, you know, I think it'd be really fun to maybe go to New York City and maybe, you know, see a ballet or play or something like that. And Roby goes, oh, that's great. And then he said, how about you, Nehemiah? And he so said, I'd like to visit Neptune. And so Roby used that in a sermon one Sunday, and he said, you know, we need to be praying visit Neptune prayers. We need to be praying prayers that are so big that they're out of the galaxy. Well, that's in the galaxy, I think. Anyway, but out of this world, they're so big that we're honoring God by the bigness of our requests that we have for Him. Visit Neptune prayers. And then fifth and final element of prayer, number five, intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. Again, verse 18, very end of it, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And every time I see a supplication and praying for all the saints, I immediately thank the Lord, go into praise, thank you, Jesus, prayer for our prayer ministry and Pam B, don't you? And how blessed we are for that urgent prayer ministry, and I know I don't even want to ask you, Pam, how many hours it takes for you to check your emails, and sometimes it's almost every day something comes through. But we're just so appreciative because there have been so many wonderful prayers that have been answered. People have been encouraged. Just as we've all come alongside and prayed for the different ones through the prayer ministry. I got so carried away, I lost my train of thought. But and anyway, it means for us to be praying for each other, a lot of worthy things to be praying about. But on top of the list should be each other. We should be praying for each other, which is one of the wonderful functions of our small groups. I love that we can be praying for each other. And I think it's important for us to be vulnerable with each other, not praying for surfacey things. Not that God does not care about our surfacey things as well, but that we share with each other, that we can be praying deeply for one another. That's part of what this passage is all about. Most of us have real issues that desperately need the touch of God. Am I right? Absolutely. And at this time, not only that, we need to be joining our hearts together with the Ukraine and with what is going on around our world right now. I love the fact that Sarah ended the whole study last week talking about that missionary couple, remember, that was in Ukraine. And here it turns out that they were not even in the present difficulty. It was in the previous difficulty of several years ago. And I loved how she brought that to our attention, that we need to be in prayer for the believers, for everybody in that region of the world right now. Wow. But we all have concerns for our children, health of our friends and relatives, marriages, and on it goes. You know, when I was, years ago, I was driving the children up to Westminster Academy, and I was in the car every day for 3 hours for 7 years. I'm not complaining. Yes, I am. But anyway. And there was a woman in the morning Bible study that came up to me, and she said, you know what, I just feel this tremendous burden. I feel like the Lord put it on my heart to pray for you for safety every morning as you are driving all those, you know, hours in the car. And so I just want to tell you that 7 years, 3 hours in the car, not one time were we in an accident. And guess what? We were driving on I-95. Say no more. Wow. Oh my goodness. Praying. Being aware when God places something on our heart about a friend or somebody that we know. The other part of intercessory prayer, praying for the warriors of our faith. Look at verse 19 and 20. This is just kind of an amazing verses that Paul prays and writes to the church of Ephesus. Verse 19, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. We need to be praying for our spiritual leaders. We need to be praying for our pastors. We need to be praying for the ministry heads that are in the battle zone right now, especially in our country and in other places in the world. The missionaries, like we've already talked about in Ukraine and all around the world and globe, we need to be praying for them. Ask the Lord to put somebody specific on your heart. Who is a leader that I need to be praying for? Who is a missionary that comes to my mind, Lord, that you would like me to pray for? Every Sunday, one thing that the Lord has placed on my heart is to pray for every pastor that I know and love in this area. And so every morning, that's sort of an exercise that I go through, praying for the various pastors. But back to the verse, Paul is beseeching his fellow Christians to pray for him. This is incredible to me. I don't know about you, but the Apostle Paul seems sort of like, wow, you know, he's just so strong. And, you know, I feel like when I get to heaven, he might not necessarily be the first person that I seek, you know. It's like, maybe I'd rather say hi to sweet Ruth. Or, you know, I mean, the Paul, he's just so, and but anyway, I love the fact that he is saying, he's beseeching his fellow Christians to pray for him. Basically, he's saying, I can't make it without your prayers. This is the Apostle Paul, Mr. Strong. Wow. I love his humility. He's expressing his need. He's saying, without your prayers, I might be fearful. I need to be bold. That I might declare it boldly. Notice that he, in those two verses, twice he says, I need boldness. I want to make sure that I'm speaking with boldness. So that's how intense he is about, please pray for me. Please pray for me. Because he was apparently feeling fearful. We are all in battle, and we need to be praying for each other. Summarizing the treasure we possess, yes, we're in battle today, perhaps one of the most important times in our history, in our country, perhaps. I mean, there have been some very trying times, but this is one as well. And we need to be aware of that, and we need to be prayerful, prayerful, prayerful. The battle is won on our knees. The battle is won on our knees. John Piper said, unless I'm badly mistaken, one of the main reasons so many of God's children don't have a significant life of prayer is not so much that we don't want to, but we don't plan to. Isn't that good? There is a race to run, a fight to be fought. If you want renewal in your life of prayer, you must plan to see it. Therefore, my simple exhortation is this: let us make time this very day to rethink our priorities and how prayer fits in. Make this a day of turning to prayer for the glory of God and for the fullness of your joy. Wow. The battle is won on our knees.
For previous lessons or other resources, please visit SheridanHouse.org or call us at 954-583-1552. We hope you can join us again next week.